back at it here in the, we got to come up with a name of the studio. Like, we don't have a name.
All right, we got to come up with something.
We're going to call it the BYBR studio for now.
All right.
Welcome to the BYBR studio.
Working title.
In progress, right?
TBD.
Right.
We got a very fond guest, you know.
Yes, sir.
Someone that, you know, what this podcast is all about, and which is about highlighting individuals that come out of the Bronx that are doing something different than, you know, the average person. And he's all about, like, uplifting athletes, not just in the Bronx, but all over New York City. But to ado, it's your boy, Joey B, the guy, the one and only, hopefully so. If not, you already know. My boy.
Los in the building. Yeah, and, episode two.
And it's our honor to introduce Gene Marcial, the captain, El Capitan, the coach, the player, the man, the myth, the legend. What's up, bro?
We're working on the legend part.
We're working on the legend?
We're working on that.
What's up? What are you doing to make yourself a legend? Just want to hear
it's
that.
Just grinding, man. You know what I'm saying? It's, what I'm doing right now is just part of a grind, and I know that it just started, so you can't really dictate yourself at that because the job ain't, you know, Kobe said his job's not finished.
Job's not finished. Job is not finished. That's a fact. It's one of the greatest lines, one of the greatest people, not just player, to have ever walked this this planet. So, you know, we'll dive right into it. Right?
Yeah,
you know, we're going to keep it straight up. We don't like to, you know, it's the Be Real podcast, so we don't, none of that fake shit. We like to just keep it real, and we're going to give you your flowers. I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you're a basketball coach here in the community. You've been a player for a lot of years, and now you're put yourself in a position to uplift these young cats that's coming into the game and also teach them as well.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And yeah, we just want to hear more about your journey, bro. You know what I'm saying? How you got to this point, you know, what made you start getting into basketball and coaching at that too, you know, what made you get into coaching and yeah, man, we just want to hear more about yourself.
I appreciate y'all for having me. You know, me and Joey go way back. So he was there when the grind started. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm just fortunate enough to be put in this position.
That's a fact, bro. Los don't know this, but I'm actually nice. In basketball.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said if he was 6'5", he would have went to the league. So I want to know if that's true.
Listen, we get to that. We'll get to that.
I need to see.
We got stories about Joel. I'm just saying.
I need to see tape.
I don't know, but this ain't about him.
Bro,
I need to see tape.
I would have been Luka Doncic.
Stop it.
On the court if I was playing basketball. I'm just saying.
It would have been Nate Robinson, saying. Bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I got no hops. But yeah, me and Gene, you know, we started in high school basketball together. You know, he was definitely, like I said, the captain, and you know, he led the path for me to join the team because he was on it prior to me. Although we were supposed to join it the same year, but I was a knucklehead.
You want to talk about that story? We're
not putting that on airwaves.
All right, I feel you.
But yeah, man, just, I guess, you know, take us into what it was like going from, you know, high school ball to college ball and to, like, how you put yourself in the position of, like, being a coach. Like, walk us through that journey.
I mean, you know, I started playing late compared to most other people. You know, I didn't really start taking it serious until, I want to say, like, sophomore year going into junior year, like that summer. So, to me, it was just about being around my friends and, you know, enjoying a sport. You know, I didn't expect it to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think I was that good. Like, you know, it was just something to keep me entertained, keep me busy. So, you know, once I saw improvement, and you know, the great Jackie Noah, so.
Legendary.
Always got to give him his flowers. So, you know, once he saw potential and, you know, what I was becoming and what I could do, that's when I started realizing it, like, okay, you know, maybe we could play college basketball. So you know, we worked into that. I ended up improving in a year. Like, it was like two different people, and everybody used to tell me that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, you know, you was just a kid in the park, tall, making layups, and all of a sudden, like, now you more of a complete basketball player. But, you know, that was late nights with him in the gym, you know, putting in that work. And a lot of people didn't know that. But once I saw I started gaining a passion for it. You know, and then I moved on to college. But at, like, even though in the early stages, like, coaching was never like a was I was never even thinking about that right. at all. You know, everybody got the hoop dream, you know, going to the NBA and this time the third.
Everybody had hoop dreams, that's a fact.
But, you know, I kind of realized that early that the hoop dream wasn't going to be that. Mm-hmm. You know, it was no league for me, but I didn't let it stop me from, you know, getting the most out of it. So that's pretty much it. Went to college. You know, it was a rough freshman year. I was up there by myself. A bunch of...
What's... I mean, I know. But for the listeners, what school?
I went to SUNY Ulster Community College up in Stone Ridge. It's by Newport. It's like 30 minutes from Newport.
The JUCO route.
Yeah, JUCO route. Mm. I ain't had the grades, so... Yeah. You know, we had to work on that, but... I mean, as a freshman, I was getting, like, looked at, like, Division II offers, like, getting looked at, you know, NIAC, Dominican. But I didn't want to leave right away because I was still a little kid. I was right. a kid, you know, 18 years old. Like, this is all new to me. Mm-hmm. I'm living by myself. I'm doing all these things. So I'm gonna kind of got to mature on the fly. And it was a rough freshman year. You know, it was literally one night. Like, we played against Sullivan. You know, Klee Anthony, they had a squad. Klee Anthony early. You know what I'm saying? Like a squad. You know, I'm up there. I'm playing my ass off. Mm. And we ended up losing. And it got to the – that was kind of like a breaking point for me. You know, I had Mr. Nose in the game. He was up there. After the game, it was like, I don't think I could do this. You know, he pulled me to the side, and he just, like, let me cry on his shoulder. I was like somebody just passed away, like just crying. He just let me cry. So – that's part of me maturing, realizing, like, yo, you really up here. Like, this is what this is about.
Right.
So, you know, he kind of told me, like, you know, I got a crew coming for you next year. You know, so just hang on as long as you can because I got a crew coming for you next year. Like, you ain't going to be up here by yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you could sustain this and hold this and, you know, stay level-headed and continue to grind through it, you say you're going to be fine. I kind of dealt with it. And then, let alone the crew came in next year. You know, literally everybody that was on my freshman year team was gone. And I decided to stay because the crew that was coming in was, you know, some of my former teammates. Joel was coming up, Chris Austin, Kyle Benjamin, you know, dudes that I've been growing up playing with. So I felt comfortable to stay.
With a bunch of other cats. You know, shout out Remy, Golden.
For sure.
You know, a bunch of cats that could hoop. It wasn't like, you know, it was like
hoop. Now we had, it was straight, it was a crew. Hoop. It was a crew.
Had some dogs, like, on the team. So.
It was a crew. Hoop.
Couple of clowns.
Demetrius, Andre.
But hoop.
Like, it was a crew. So it was like, you know, they was coming up. Since I was the only returner and I already been through the grind. Mm-hmm. The captain title got thrown at me. Like, yo, you're just going to have to be a leader. So I'm like, you know, I saw what it was. So I decided to take that role. You know, and then it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to be because there was a lot of up and downs that year. But to be honest, I learned a lot about myself up there. A lot about myself. And I learned that, you know, like, I can change people's lives in a way. Not trying to force it, but just kind of like, you know, just leading by example, you know, just like looking out. You know, people have to learn sometimes through mistakes, but I think it's always good to have somebody there that's been through the mistakes that can shed light on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you decide what to do with that information.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because like a leader, just to say... also, by giving you your flowers, it's like I said when I introduced him about led the path.
Right.
A leader, as you say, is a guide. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to be a leader at a young age, it's huge, bro. So that's your flowers, bro. Like, That was big time, bro. And I think you stepped up, bro. For real.
And what's impressive, too, is that you became a leader, right? But you say you didn't play organized ball until you was, what, 15, sophomore year of college?
Like 15 going
I mean, sophomore year of high school?
Yeah, like 15. Yeah. Right.
So what was the challenges of that? Like, because you started out kind of late compared to people who've been hooping.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to give my flowers to... No, it's rare. Like, the person who made me go into basketball is my cousin, Kevin Vargas. Mm. Like, he was a year older than me. So, he was at Kennedy, and he was playing. So, like, we lived in the same building, so we was always, like, attached to the hip.
Right.
So, you know, he got into the basketball. His older brother, Willie Vargas, was a basketball head. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he always looked up to his brother, following him. Mm. He was an older cousin. I'm the oldest, so I don't have no older brothers. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was attached, so I kind of looked up to him, in a sense. He started playing. Like, I want to do it, too.
Right.
But I didn't think anything of it, you know? Then once I started getting better, and it's like, all right, now I'm competing. Now I started really believing in myself. Like, oh, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could do these kind of things. Like, it ain't that hard. And then it kind of took off from there. Where it was like, once I kept seeing constant improvement, I'm like, yo, like, I never got too high. Mm-hmm. And things like, you know, I'm the greatest out here. Like, I just knew that, like, yo, the work you've been putting in is starting to pay off. But it ain't done. It ain't done. You know what I'm saying? So, there's more work we got to put in. So, it was a challenge. You know, like, there was nights where I didn't want to be putting in that work. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted. But it also was fun, you know, and it was fun getting better. And because of the fun aspect of it, it made me want to be in it more.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really think, like, everybody say basketball is a business. Like, I didn't think about basketball being a business. I just thought about, you know, having fun with it. Like, just playing the game. Right. I was always into sports as a kid. Like, my grandfather put me in baseball. I was playing baseball from a little kid to, like, 13. To the point where I was like, yo, this is kind of boring. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's every Dominican, though. Like, that's our first sport. So,
you're born into it.
You're born into baseball.
You're born, and the first thing they hand you is a bat.
Right.
it's like a white kid in the South in the 1950s. You just racism, you know?
Yeah. But when I see Dominican hoopers, bro, I get hyped, bro.
I didn't think of it like, you know, it's not a lot of us out there. Like, like, you're a kid, you're growing up, you're not really seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, my grandfather was upset that I stopped playing baseball.
Of course.
He was upset. Yeah. He was like, you know, rest in peace, my grandfather. He passed away 2 years ago. But, like, yo, you know, why you don't do this? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you got to put in too much work into that to be good. And then I got, like, I used to play, I was decent where I got picked for all-star teams and I was on all-star teams. But, like, I play on an all-star team. There was a couple tournaments where I didn't even play.
Right.
So I'm like, why y'all picking me for these all-star teams and I'm not even playing?
I suck a man.
So I'm like, nah, it was a couple things. You feel me? My grandfather always had my back on that. But I'm just like, this is a waste of my time. So I ain't want to do it no more. Mm. So that's why I started playing basketball. And, like, I legit was not good at basketball. I was just an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, run, jump. And lay the ball up.
Crazy.
So here you are, second year at Ulster, and leader of men. How was that now? Now you're in a position to, you know, excel in college sports where it's like, you know, now it's like the real go around. You had your year of, you know, figuring out what it's like. Now you know what it's like, and you got a good team of hoopers. How was that? What did you take away from it? And just, like, how was that experience?
That year, being a leader on the All-Star team taught me how to manage personalities.
Mm.
Because, like, the personalities on that team was, like...
And that's coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But even then, I was not thinking, you know, I'm going to coach. Like, That was the furthest thing from my mind. And the funny thing is, like, my cousin, Willie, right? Willie, when I was playing younger in high school in the standard third, and we was playing and he seen me getting better, one day he mentioned to me, like, yo, one day you're going to be a coach. I just look at him like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to hoop. Mm-hmm. I don't worry about it. I don't want to be in the sidelines. I'm trying to hoop. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, not even then, it's not even crossing my mind. But that year taught me how to manage personalities. Like, we had a lot of, you know, Chris Austin is a personality. You know, Kyle is a personality. Remy was a personality. Bye. Like, they were all different personalities, but they were all talented. Mm. So it was, you know, my job was trying to make sure that they gelled.
Mm.
you know, kind of building team chemistry and, you know, nobody hate on nobody. And, you know, because at the end of the day, I got a goal. My goal is to win because nobody comes and play. I don't play. We're not in the park. I'm not playing to just play.
Like, right.
At this point now I'm starting to think of it as a business because it's like, you know, I'm getting those D2 looks. I'm a sophomore. Like, I don't have no more junior college basketball after this. I got to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So I can't do it by myself. I need these guys to help me. So I was just trying to balance those personalities and you know, and make everybody feel like they're a part of it. And as hard as it was, you know. And Coach Rayford taught me a lot of that about growing up. You know, we didn't always see eye to eye, but he taught me a lot of growing up. And you know, he was like a big brother figure sometimes to me in terms of, like, you know, when I'm not doing the right things, of how to be a leader. Or when the team is messing up, I never thought of it. Like, when they're messing up, all the blame falls on me because I'm not doing my job as a leader. Mm. So it's like growing up in that, I'm looking at it like, this is men's basketball. Like, I can't control another man. Mm-hmm. But so it taught me ways to manipulate those situations, you know. And then part of being a leader I know now is kind of manipulation in a sense, you know, as wrong as it sounds. But it's kind of, you got to manipulate somebody in order to get the goal.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's a fact. I think the best leader in today's game is Chris Paul. And, you know, like, when I watch him play and I see him, how he interacts with certain players, like, he'll be able to scream at one dude, "What the fuck is wrong with you? Why the fuck you make it?" You know what I mean? And then other dudes, they're like, "Yo, it's hot. Do this next time. Do it like this." You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, like, some dudes, don't even worry about it. Like, don't even say anything to them.
Yeah, because it's... Again, it's going back to those personalities.
Yeah.
Like, you got to learn those. Some people's fragile. Like,
yeah.
Some people, you know, need to be pushed.
Yeah.
You need to piss somebody off in order to get the best out of them. So, but you got to learn that about who. Like, I can't sit here and, you know, and be the same way. I can't be demonstrative to everybody that can't handle it.
Right.
Because everybody's personality and ego is, you know, it's fragile. So it's like, you know, some people need that. I can, you know, ha 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 on you. And then the next person, I got to kind of, like, you know, boost his confidence, because if I don't boost his confidence, he shuts down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need you to shut down in this particular moment. So, like, that second year at Ulster was definitely learning that. Was definitely learning that of who I could be demonstrative to, who I needed to, you know, have a one-on-one conversation, who I can call out in front of everybody, who I got to talk to, you know, things like that. But that was definitely, like, part of growing up. And it's definitely helped me today, for sure.
That's what's up. I think it goes into your coaching abilities for sure. So you here now that, you know, you've managed personalities, what happened after that? What did you garner from that situation? I went there. I knew that you guys had a up and down season.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, like, yeah, I took one of the best teams in that conference, BCC, who had a couple cats go D1, D2, to like an OT game in the playoffs, you know. And then after that, you know, what'd you garner from all that, like, to shape you out into the coach you are after, like, what happened?
I mean, it was exhausting, too, because, like, you know, part of learning that in that aspect is, like, you know, I'm so worried about everybody else and making sure that this is right that I forgot to worry about me.
Yeah.
Right?
Get yours.
Then I took a hit, you know, with the academics. So now it's like, you know, I got to balance that part out. And I didn't realize, like, that part was involved in that. Because it kind of, like, you know, I'm still learning how to be a leader the right way. So it's, you know, like, I took a hit academically. So I came back. I didn't graduate. I wasn't able to graduate on time. I needed, like, another class. But I'm like, I'm not staying up there and paying rent to take one class.
Right.
So I'm coming to the city. So I came to the city, you know, summer hit, everybody outside. That lost my mind about, you know, going back to school and finishing that class. Started dealing with some personal things. I ended up going to a Westbury. I went to a Westbury. Mm. I was commuting. I'm like, this ain't for me. I was supposed to play for them. I was like, this ain't for me. Like, I'm a transfer. I went to transfer. I sat down in Jack's office. I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to do this. I want to go somewhere. But by this time, I'm like, I'm Division II material. I don't want nothing less. He's like, listen, like, you are Division II material, but it's all about what's the right fit for you. I wasn't trying to hear none of that. I'm like, yo, so I took it upon myself. I transferred to Mercy. Mm. Did the Mercy thing. Remy was there. Bob was there. So we were supposed to all go and play. Still dealing with the same personal issues. I never really got like locked in on it. I'm like, yeah, I'm done with this too. So I went and I kind of like failed out. Mm. I'm like, I don't want to do this. Mind you, to get my associate's degree, I still needed one class. Took like a year off, a year and a half off. I'm like, yo, I'm just working. I went into like a mode of depression where it was like, I don't know what's next. Right. So when you don't know what's next, you kind of always anxious and antsy. You know what I'm saying? I'm an older brother. So now my older brothers, you know, they old enough to understand what's going on. And now all that pressure I feel I put on myself to be a good example for them. Mm-hmm. Now I'm feeling all that. My mom is every day, what you going to do with yourself? Why are you just in the house doing nothing? Like, what you going to do? What you going to do? I tried all these little bullshit jobs. This shit's not for me either. One day, now by this time my little brother's in sixth grade. This is when like now I started thinking about coaching. Mm. Like my little brother's in sixth grade. He's in a little after school program in school. I used to pick him up. They used to have like a little basketball coach. I used to pick him up from school, from the little after school, whatever. Their basketball coach left. My little brother was all right. Like at his age, he was all right for his sixth grade.
Yeah, he ain't no scrub now.
Yeah, he all right. But. But like, you know, he's all right. So I'm like, you know, basketball coach left. He's talking to me. And he's like, yo, you should do it. I'm like, I don't know. He ended up going to the director of the after school
program. Your brother.
My little brother at sixth grade. Ended up going to the director. I had never told him like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure myself out. And went directly and told her, like, you know, my brother's home. He played basketball. Like, maybe he should be our coach.
That's fire.
She was like, yo, bring him. So, like, he never told me nothing. I went, I picked him up one day, and then she kind of pulled me to the side. We spoke. And I'm like, what are you even talking about? She's like, yeah, you know, he told me this, that, and the third. Like, you'd be good for it. I'm like, yo, I don't got no job right now. I need some bread. So, I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it. Started coming every day, started working them out. Like, my little brother was all right, but the team was trash. Like, they was doodle. Little kids, sixth grade. Like, whatever. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, yo, I ain't built for this.
Right. Like, wasting my time.
You feel me? I'm like, this is just too much patience.
Right.
I'm just like, yo, you know what? Again, I need the bread.
Yeah.
Started doing it. Just rocking out. They starting to get better every day. Still not even thinking, like, yo, I'm going to do this long term. I still got 2 years eligibility. I need to go back to school. I ended up going to BCC for the one class. I got the one class done. And then, you know, I got my associate's degree. I ended up coaching them for 2 years. So when they got to eighth grade. Mm-hmm. By the time they got to eighth grade, it was legit.
You was on your Penny Hardaway shit.
Pretty much. But by the time they got to eighth grade, it was legit. But it helped me get involved in basketball again. Mm-hmm. Right? Because before that, I was like, go to the park and hoop.
Right.
But, like, I wasn't really into it. It helped me kind of find the love and the passion for it again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yo, I need to go back to school and do this. Like, I got 2 years left. I need to go back to school. And I need to just, wherever I'm going to go, I need to finish it out and finish it the right way. Yeah. So I ended up going back to, you know, I ended up transferring into Lehman. And then that became a whole thing. But, like, if it wasn't for my little brother just going behind my back and putting that, I kind of would have never found that passion again.
That's crazy.
I know.
And that shows the growth, too, because remember you saying earlier that, you know, you want to take nothing less than D2. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, nah, I'm set. Like, I'm a D2 player. Like, I know my worth. I know I can bring to the table. So to go through all that, to realize, you know what? Let me just finish this out.
And I'm a kill.
Yeah, and I'm a kill.
Because
yeah.
By this point, I'm just like, you know, like, when I came back from Ulster, I was 20. Mm. And I'm doing all this bouncing around. For like 2.5, almost 3 years. Yeah. So by the time I decide to go back, I'm 23. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm like, ain't no D2 gonna want no 23-year-old. Like, that's how I'm looking at
right.
it. But at this point, I'm like, I'm a grown-ass man now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a little kid who, you know, still has these hoop dreams. Like,
right.
I need to go and get my degree so I could be the big brother that I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I want to hoop. So it ain't about, you know, where I'm a hooper, it's about, you know, who's going to give me the opportunity to hoop. And to do it at the level that I want to do it at. So,
and that tells a lot about yourself, too. That shows the maturity and the growth. Because most people, they'll hear them news like, oh, you're not taking me at this D2? I'm not going to hoop again. I'm not going to go back to school. There's niggas like that. Like, they just want to straight hoop, and then, like, they wouldn't go back to finish, you know.
Yeah, I deal with that right now.
Yeah,
they want it. My position, I deal with it.
Right.
So, like, I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, nah, definitely. Some dudes don't want to see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's always funny because, like, some D1 cats, they would go from, like, 15th man on a team in D1. And, you know, like, rather stay there and not really, you know, get any PT. Mm. And some see the bigger picture and they understand that it's not really about, like, that you have this title, right? That, oh, I'm a D1 player. With being a D1 player, I can now garner other accolades and achievements, right? Nah, it's not that. It's putting yourself in a position to succeed. Mm-hmm. And that way, the light can be shed on you. Because just being something is not enough. It's about doing something. So some cats go from D1, 15th man, and go down to D2, or the other way around, vice versa, D2, go down to D3, and so on and so on. And you know what I mean? And then they become either the first option, second option, or whatever. They just become a part of an offense and a team where they can, like, showcase their skills more. And then, boom, they go from here. Now they're here. Even though they're at a lower level, they up here.
Yeah.
You know? So, I definitely agree with that a lot. Maturity, and you know, you're coaching now, so you definitely see it on the day-to-day basis. So
100%.
You know, now I as listening to your story, you know, you talking about, you've spoken about leadership, you've spoken about patience, and you know, the love for the game. So all that, it's like a fucking coach. Like, mm-hmm. when people are looking for coaches, I feel like that's yeah, what you ask for. Like,
those are the tangibles, right? For a coach, yeah.
Right? So now here you are at Lehman. You know, you're playing again. How was that experience? What did you take away from that one that led to, you know, that being the final chapter of the hooping days that transformed you into the man you are today?
Lehman was like, it's funny because, like, you know, I've had this conversation before and this, that, and the third. And, like, just hearing y'all kind of reiterate it back and other people, it really sounds like almost like a book. Like, it ain't long enough to be a book, but it sounds like just the, you know what I'm saying? Like, each part of it is its own chapter.
It's a chapter, facts.
So it's like, at Lehman, it was another chapter. Because it's like, you know, yeah, I took some time off from hooping, but I'm coming from a junior college where, you know, I had a resume, you know, second team all conference and whatever the case may be. I was a team captain. I got kind of like fake recruited into Lehman, but that's because, you know, I was in the summertime, I was playing with Willie in the Inwood tournament, and the dude that was coaching us was Van Troy Chapman. Shout out to Van Troy, where he was coaching us, and he was the current assistant coach for Lehman. Just so happened that my cousin Willie Vargas played at Lehman. Mm. And I used to go and watch his games as I was, you know, high school and whatever. And, you know, so I'm at Inwood and I'm not killing, but I'm, you know, I'm doing my thing, I'm playing. So I get to the point where it's like, yo, what school you in? I'm not in school right now. You should come to Lehman. Like, I'm thinking about it. At that point, I was talking to Kareem to try and go up to Oneonta.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, me being in the city, I felt like I already done too much damage to myself, so I needed to go back out. That was my whole process, you know. So I was trying to get it, you know, get in contact with the coach so I could go out there.
He ain't no basketball.
That's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not for me to...
That's for me to say. That's for me to say.
You know? But I was trying to do that, and the whole time that he wanted me to come to Lehman, you know, towards the end of it, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to Lehman. I had missed the deadline to transfer in. So I got to sit out a whole another semester. But I was engaged, you know. I ended up transferring in the spring. I would come to the games, I'd watch. And I ain't going to hold you. I used to come to the games and be like, yeah, I could play. For me, I was like, I'm getting on this team. Like, it just, they was good though. I'm not gonna lie, they was good.
They was alright.
They no, at that year they was pretty good. They was solid. They was like a number two seed or something like
but
that.
But what's that?
Wait, what year is this?
This is 2015 going into 2016.
Gotcha.
So, but I was supposed to be in 2015 fall and play into 2016. But I ended up transferring 2016 spring. Mm. So, but I was like, yeah, I could play. Like, I could hoop. Like, this light. Like, I was already with some killers up there. Like,
yeah.
There ain't no killers over here. That was my whole, you know, me just trying to psych myself back into it. Whatever, season ended, they start having open gym. You know, I start coming to the open gyms. I start hooping, and then head coach sees me at the open gym. He pulls me to the side. "He's like, you go here?" It's like, "Yeah, I just transferred in the spring." It's like, "You should try out in the fall." I'm like, "All right, bet." Fast forward to the fall. So now, when I fast forward to the fall, you know, John Brent, who's the point guard at Lehman at the time, he was already there. I already had known him when I was a kid. We used to play in Dykeman against each other.
He's the he play overseas now, right?
No, it's not him. That's my other boy, Milo. Luis Hernandez. We played each other that summer in Heights tournament. So I knew him. He was coming in. So like I'm now knowing dudes on the team. Now I'm comfortable because I know them. You know, I ended up trying out. I legit was about to get cut. I kid you not. Like
what?
Listen, it's funny and. I talk to him about this all the time. I'm like, yo, coach, you remember you was about to cut me? Like, now I'm your assistant. Like, you feel me? It's a joke. But, like, he was going to cut me because there was a kid who done tried out already for three times. And they always got to the point of, like, yo, him or somebody else. Mm. Him or somebody else.
Damn.
Yeah. So, like, John kind of, Brent knew me. He kind of vouched for me. Like, yo, trust me. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get something, blah, blah. So, I ended up being on the team. And, got on the team, I wasn't even playing. My junior year, like, I wasn't playing like that. Like, I'll come in and I'll be productive. Like, I play like 12 minutes, I get like 6 and 3. I play 16 minutes, I get 11 and 8. Like, you can see in the box score, you look it up, it's in the box score. Then I'll go games where I play 3 minutes and score 2 points. But if, like, you're an analytics guy, you can see, like, yo, production is there.
Yeah, like,
production is there.
I think they do, like, stats per 36 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you add in, this is just for the analytics guy, if you average in 11 and 8 in 16 minutes, 16 times 2 is 32, you average in 22 and 16.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was some solid numbers you dropped.
I had the 11 and 8, we were smacking them by 20 something, which is why my minutes was extended.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to hold you.
But it's still analytics.
Yeah, it's still for real.
Yeah, but so I'm saying, like, the production is there. The guy that was playing ahead of me was a senior. So he had been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He was solid. You know, like, he was doing, taking charge. He was like a
glue guy.
I don't want to say a glue guy, but, like, he was dependable. You know exactly what you're going to get from him.
Sounds like a glue guy.
I guess.
You know?
I call it how I call it. I see how I see it. He was legit. Like, he's a good dude. You know what I'm saying? He's going to take charges. He's going to rebound. He's going to defend.
Yeah.
But he wasn't scoring like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, so, Tony Allen kind of.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm like, yo, I'm giving work in practice. Like, I'm taking charges. I'm defending. I'm getting buckets. You feel me? Yeah. I'm like, why I'm not playing? The time, I'm 23, you know, going into, I'm lying. I got into the fourth, now I'm 24. I'm a grown-ass man. I'm like, I'm coming, I got a full-time job. I'm like, why am I coming every day from my full-time job to work dumb hard in practice, sacrifice, you feel me, and go to class right after, and I'm not playing? Like, what's this point of this? So, like, I had a conversation with the assistant coach, and I'm just like, yo, listen, man. Like, the assistant coach knew my uncle, so, like, he kind of seen me growing up. Mm. I'm like, yo, like, what's up? I'm not going to be doing this. I'm grown. I'm probably, like, one of the oldest on the team. Like, I don't have the time for this. He's like, yo, listen, trust me. We see what you're doing. Stay with it. I'm like, yo, I'm going to trust you. But my patience is running thin. He's like, all right, bet. It's like 2 games later, the dude that was playing ahead of me fouls out, and we getting smacked. So I got all of y'all was at the game that day. You, Omar, Stevie, Chris Austin, y'all was at the game that day. And all you hear on the side from the corner is, we want Gene. We want Gene. We want Gene. So my coach, we losing. It's like, whatever. This is like 5 minutes left. We getting smacked. It's like, yo, go get him. I got in the game. I'm like, yo, my boys is here. I'm putting everything up. That was my mindset.
He said pulling up from the logo.
I talked to the point guard. The first play. Nah, that wasn't my game. I talked to the point guard. I told him. He's like, yo, don't even worry about it. I got you. So now he's calling things for me. And once I'm getting there, I'm just going. Mm. And I end up finishing, like, I play like 8 minutes. I end up finishing with like 15 and like six. And I only play like 8 minutes. I'm like, after that game, it was like right before the semester ends in December. After that game, he comes to me. He was like, what do you think about starting? In my mind, I'm like, it's about damn time. He's like, yo, but listen, like, you know, I don't want you to play the three because, you know, my man's Andrew Ute, he was at the three. He was a killer. So I'm like, I don't care where you put me. I just want to play. He's like, all right, you're going to play the four and the five. I don't care where you put me. I just want to hoop. He's like, all right, bet. So try the four. I'm like, all right, bet. Try the four. I'm like, this is easy because it's not like I'm not a traditional power forward.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, that wasn't the offense, you know. And he don't limit you. So I was just like, yo, I'm just on the court. But once I got on the court, it was a wrap. Like, nobody coming here and taking my spot.
Yeah.
You feel me? And that's just the maturity, being able to stick with it. And then knowing that once you get there, you know, just like I was being hungry to get that, there's somebody else on that bench seeing what I just did, trying to come for me. So I just made sure that I'm like, yo, I'm putting that to bed. And at the end of that season, like, I showed a lot of leadership because I was coming from a situation where I was a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But I never wanted to step on whoever the captain's foot was. You know what I'm saying? So I was never, like, you know, taking over of the team. But, you know, it was his first time being a captain in this situation. So I'll give him pointers. Like, yo, on the low. Like, yo, try this. Try that. Or I help him out, whatever. Coach will see that. And coach, going into my senior year, coach is like, yo, you think about being a captain? I'm like, yeah, this ain't nothing new to me.
Yeah.
So he gave me that. And I probably was like, he probably not going to tell you, but he kind of reiterates it. But I'm probably like one of the top five captains he's ever had. And I could speak on that.
I'm telling you, I speak on that
because I know what I gave. You know what I'm saying?
Call it how you see it.
I know what I gave. And, you know, there was some dudes who, like, prior to that I was watching while I was attending school who were leaders. I'm like, nah, he's a good-ass leader. But, like, I'm right behind that. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Yeah. Like, right there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I'm bringing it all together because, like, I want, you know, like, I feel
you're putting,
like,
the book together. Go ahead.
You, these are the chapter titles and shit. You know, like, I think IQ is huge when it comes to highlighting who you want to be a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you were able to, you know, put yourself in a situation where, like, you're not playing the three, which is your traditional role. But you were able to step into the four and the five, which you were hella short for, which you're a tall guy, but you played the five and, you know, produce and have a successful career.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That goes toe-to-toe with dudes like Draymond Green.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that. I'm glad you mentioned
that. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not, like, when people hear basketball and they see size, they put you in a... position, you know what I mean? So, like, for me or anyone my height, like, being 5'6", it's like, oh, he's a point guard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where, like, I'm not saying I don't have the IQ to be a point guard, but I know what it takes to be, like, a really good point guard. And traditionally, I like to really shoot the fucking ball. I'd rather be a two guard, but I don't have the height.
Right.
But if you put me at the two, I'm going to be all right. So, like, Gene, IQ is allowing him to really, like, step into not positions but roles. Like, he can play, he can do what the four can do. He may not be the four, but he can do it. Right. He can put himself in the five, and you can put yourself and do the things that I'm aboard. All right, cool, I'm aboard. Why? Because he's gonna box out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's like IQ shit. So I just wanted to, like, add that to the chapters.
Nah, so I'm glad you mentioned the Draymond Green part, right? So going into my junior year, we made it we ended up starting, and we was rolling. Like, towards the end of that year, we were rolling. And we get to the conference semifinals. And we ended up losing on a buzzer beater, right? And, like, that shit hurt.
Always. So,
like, we yo, damn, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was rolling. And this just happened, and it's unfortunate. So we like, yo, going into my senior year now, I'm like, yo, this is my last go around. Like, I need to be the best leader that I can be. And the person who I took after a lot was Draymond Green. So I try to imitate things he do. Not his game, but just the mentality.
Right.
Right? So because, you know, I was coming into it, like, that first meeting we had at Players Only, like, I called everybody out, and I just let them know what it was going to be. I'm like, listen, like, you know, you think you should be playing, you think you should be playing, like, this, that, and the third, that's not decisions for us to make. You, whatever happens coaching-wise is whatever I have coaching-wise. Y'all got to come in here and put in the work. If you're not going to come in here and put in the work, get out the locker room, because I'm going to tell you this right now, we going to win with you or we going to win without you. It is what it is. I don't care what you want to do. Like, my goal and my agenda, but the good thing is that I wasn't the only one that had that. So it kind of meshed well. But it was like, you know, like, all right, you know, you might not like what I'm saying, but you got to agree with it because everybody got the same goal. So you got to kind of put your ego to the side. Mm-hmm. But I was being straightforward. I'm like, I'm not here to be your friend. Like, I'm not here to be your friend. Like, I'm here to get I'm here to get a ring on my finger. Like, that's what I'm doing it for. And if you're not putting in the same work, that same passion, and that same drive that I'm putting in, then you're on the wrong team. Try out next year. You feel me? Worry about that when I leave.
Right.
All
right?
So a lot of dudes bought in. But what helped was that we was winning. But that cured a lot of headaches. Because if we was losing, that year would have been difficult as hell. But I'm glad that enough dudes bought in to, you know, keep it rolling. So we came in and picked up exactly where we was left off. And, you know, like, we had he used to be an SID. So he, you know, he does things with the website, with the Lehman website, all the social media stuff. We used to have interviews after games or whatever the case may be. So, like, I would get interviewed after the game. And, you know, it came up, like, you know, you know, like, Draymond Green. He's like, you're the Draymond of CUNY. So I started embracing that. I'm like, yo, that's me. Mm-hmm. Like, I want the whole conference to know. I want whoever's watching me, whoever's supporting me, that's my role. But I took it because at the end of the day, he's a champion.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm trying. Players in the league, too.
Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be a champion. Mm-hmm. I had people, you know, hit me on the side. Like, yo, you better than that. You just down the third.
I'm like, you're a better scorer. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just like, I get that. Like, but that's my role right now on this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I have killers on this team. I don't need to go out there and average 15. Right. I don't need to do that. I got dudes who do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, just being mature enough to understand that, you know, to put my own personal ego and agenda to the side in order to let others shine. And, you know, so I embraced it, and it ended up working. We won 22 games, and we lost in the championship by 1 point of missed free throws.
But, I was there for that.
It's crazy, but you know what I'm saying? And at the end of it, looking back to it, I did everything I wanted to do in order to put us in a position to get to where we wanted.
Okay. Yeah.
And you mentioned ego too. I was watching. Y'all watch Snowfall?
Yeah, I watched Snowfall. I haven't watched this season though.
There was a quote on Snowfall where he said, "Only with the depth of ego can we walk a higher path." A character said that on the show, and I was like, "Damn, I had to rewind that." But that's basically the situation you had at Lehman. You know what I'm saying? Because at this point your basketball career, you're what, 23, 24 years old.
I was 24.
You could have stopped because, like, I'm pretty sure you realized, like, you know, you're not. You're not gonna mount from anything from this, you know.
Yeah.
After you just hooping, just for off the strength. But looking back at your 19, 20 year old self compared to the 23, 24, that shows, you know, not only did he put the ego to the side, but, you know, it benefited you and to where you're at now. So,
100%.
That's real life shit. Yeah. This is the BU Be Real podcast brought to you by Poland Spring.
Spring, send that check.
You know, we get into this point in your career now where, like, everything is coming to the end, everything's coming together. When did the coach, or when did you, like, how did that whole thing go down? Like, all right, I'm going to be a coach now. Like a coach. Like, you were coaching your little brother's team, but now it's like you're coaching men.
Word.
Yeah. So after that year, that my senior year, seasons ended, you know, and it's like I'm debating, you know, I'm getting these, you know, go and play in DR, like chatter. You know, I might go, you know, Alan, assistant coach Alimi was kind of helping me with that. You know, Willie was kind of helping, not helping me so much, but just giving me pointers on it. Like, yo, go play in DR. I know you're 24 and whatever, but like, just do it so you get the experience. Right. So now I'm talking and I'm hearing a lot of like, you could go, but you might not, you know, they say they're going to pay you, but they always be, you know, bullshit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now that's like, whoa, I got a government job. You feel me? Yeah. So I'm like, I got to resign from here to be a pro, to be called a pro, but not get a check. I don't care what you paying me. Like, to me, it was, at that point, it wasn't like, you know, I got to make hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was more of an experience. I could come back to the hood and be like, yeah, I was a pro. But to be like, yo, you might not get paid and I'm losing this. I'm like, yo. So I was talking to my mom. Mom was like, nah, like, is it worth it? She's like, maybe 3 years ago. Yeah. But is it worth it right now? So I'm like, it ain't worth it.
You mama know best.
I was like, it's not, I'm like, it's not worth it because I got to leave. You know, I got benefits and all that now for my job. And I'm like, I got to leave all that. Like, what if I leave and I come back? And they like, oh, nah, we gave you a spot up.
Right. You know or what I'm they saying? Don't pay you.
They wasn't going to pay me because I had to resign.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, it's not worth it. So I'm just chilling in the crib. Like, it's like August. Chilling in the crib. It is what it is. I get a text from head coach Alina. Like, hey. Not even like, hey, how you doing? Mind you, I haven't spoken to him. Like, so once the season ends, we all kind of go our separate ways because now we like, we got to deal with that pain of losing our own ways. So, like, I'm not really associated with my teammates, you know. Like, those are my brothers, but, like, I'm not talking to them as much. I'm not talking to coach. Like, that's it. You're coaching me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you got to worry about your next team. Hey, what do you think about coaching? That's the text. It ain't like, what's up? Straight how up. You been? It ain't like, you know, what have you been up to? Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying? How's the family? Like,
it's
nothing.
It's not a proper email. Like, hey, Gene Marshall.
No, none of that.
It's we just have an open position here at Lehman College of assistant coach. We were wondering, oh, we see your resume.
Right.
I'm just like, what?
That's crazy.
It's like, yeah, you know, I usually don't hire former players right away. I usually wait like 3 or 4 years before I hire a former player. Mm. But the assistant coach, Jay Modi, who was coaching me, my senior year, he took a job at Sarah Lawrence. So he ended up going to Sarah Lawrence, so that position was open. I guess he ain't had nobody, so he just sent me that text. I'm like, yeah, I'm with it. Without even thinking about it, without even thinking what I got to do, like, this is a college position now. It ain't high school. It ain't, you know,
sixth grade.
Right. Like, I didn't even consider what the hell do they do. I'm just like, all right. Because my mind was like, yeah, I'm around the game now. Like, it ain't going nowhere for me. You feel me? Like, that was probably my biggest fear was, like, damn, like, I ain't playing ball no more. So, like, how the hell am I going to be around it? You know, it's a passion that I had since I was 15 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. So, I took it. He's like, all right, bet. Come tomorrow at this time for an interview. And my mom, like, for an interview? He's like, you asked me. I didn't apply.
Bro, I still got an interview. Like,
you feel me? I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, I went, I met with him, I sat down, and we talking and stuff. And he just pretty much broke it down to me. He's like, listen, like, you know, this is what it entails. These are the things you're going to have to do. You know, but I'm only offering you this position. He's gave me the amount of money, what it was. Like, it ain't no...
It ain't much.
I'm not gonna hold you. It ain't much.
It ain't a doctor's salary.
Yeah, no. It ain't. Listen, it ain't nobody's salary. You feel me? Like, you feel me? But I'm just like, at that point, I was sitting there and I'm like, I ain't doing it for the check.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for the resume now.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Bigger like, picture.
Yeah. So now I'm like thinking at it like, you know, It ain't gonna stop here. This ain't where I'm gonna start and end. Like, so I'm sitting there and I'm like, yeah, it's cool. Whatever. I'm like, I'm going to do it. Like, He's like, you only got to be, if you, he's like, this is kind of like a 2-year job. And then, you know, you got to be serious. And if you go somewhere, you know, like, you know, I want you to move on from here and go somewhere else and end up, you know, getting better positions. But only you have to be serious about this to do it because it's time consuming. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. He talked to me about recruiting. That was like the funniest conversation to me. He goes, you know, you got to recruit and things and this, that, and the third. And I'm like, yo, coach, like, you don't got to worry about me with that. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm still young, so I'm still kind of around the game. So I know a lot of people. He laughed. Like, he legit laughed at me. He's like, you don't understand what this is about. And I'm like, yo, coach, like, trust me.
I know.
I was like, we don't got to worry about me in that aspect. Like,
inside, I know niggas.
I was like, you got to. I know niggas. You feel me? He's like, you gotta coach me in all the other parts of it. The political stuff, you know, scheduling, the scouting, and things like that. So then I got the job. That first year was like, what the fuck is this?
At this point, did you quit your government job?
No. I did it because the assistant coach was part-time.
Okay.
So because it was part-time, I kept it. Like, I was not leaving my government job. You crazy for that? But, like, that first year was type crazy. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay. But, you know, shit, dog, you did it. You know what I mean? It was a hell of a journey. Definitely, you garnered, I feel like, as you were saying everything, you know, each step, you learned something and you were able to, you know, become the man, not the player, but the man you are today. Because basketball, what's that John Wooden quote? Basketball doesn't make character. It reveals it.
Yeah.
So, you know, each step along the way, you were able to get these abilities, per se, or character abilities that, shit, made you into a hell of a coach. And I think that's something that me and Carlos definitely want to, you know, dive into more as far as, like, what kind of talent you're dealing with, what kind of, like, where can they go, where do you envision? How does it go? How do you go about, like, coaching now with, like, certain players on your team? I think something interesting that we had down that we really wanted to, like, compare, since you, like, were able to see both divisions, like D2 and D3, is, like, the level of talent. Like, what are you seeing in your role right now when it comes to who's going to D2 schools and who's going to the level that you're coaching in? And, like, because there's a dude at Yeshiva right now.
Ryan Terrell.
Playing D3, and he's getting, like, NBA looks.
He legit.
You know what I mean? So, like, what kind of talent are you seeing as far as, like, D2, D3? And do you think that the talent that you're seeing, like, what would it be like for them to make it to the NBA?
So I think that, you know, based on that, there's people are being told a lie in a sense of, like, about all this pro stuff. Like, if you're good, they gonna find you. It's just like that. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you know, people go places, you know, whether it's D1, whether it's D2, because of either the name of the school or the level of the school. But it is not the fit. So it's like, you go there and you're going to struggle and then be upset because you didn't get the looks you want. Because you weren't as good in that situation because it didn't fit you. When you could have possibly been, you know, let's say at a D2, or at a D3, where now you wilding. Somebody looking like, hold up. It fits over there, and, you know, he's doing what he needs to do. Let me go take a look. That's exactly about that kid in Yeshiva. Like, that kid is a Division I talent.
Really?
100%. He's 6'7", he does it all.
What's his name again?
Ryan Terrell. He's 6'7", he does it all.
He's Jewish.
But that's, I think that, I don't want to comment on that because I don't know, but I think that's why he went to Yeshiva. Yeah. That has something to do with
it. Oh, of course. I mean, I, like, growing up in in the Heights, Yeshiva University being right there. If you like Jewish in New York City, Yeshiva's like Harvard.
Yeah.
You got you go, they accept you, lit. I'm going. And then they only, I don't know what their admissions is like, but I think they only accept Jewish cats, so.
I don't know. I personally don't know much, but like legit. And by the, they've been a powerhouse for like the last 3 seasons. For real? I want to say.
Yeshiva?
Yeah.
I like, know they had a squad, to be honest.
Listen, my junior year, we played them. They beat us by like 4. They wasn't as good at the time, like as they are now.
Bro.
But that was like 5-6 years ago. But since then, they've built us, like they got a powerhouse. Like they won like last season, I think not last season because it was COVID. 2 seasons ago, they was like 20, they were like 29-0. Something like that. I'm telling you, and you would think like, yo,
Yeshiva.
Like
Yeshiva,
like,
bro. I'm about to get a jersey.
But listen, that's what I'm saying. They built a powerhouse, so they built a powerhouse, and then they get a kid like that.
Yeah.
That's the eyes is already on it.
Yeah.
His talent level shines. This is why he's getting all them looks. You feel me? But so my thing to people is like, yo, if you're good, they're gonna find you. Mm. Like going back to when I said when Coach laughed at me about scouting and recruiting. And he laughed at me. Like, my first ever recruit at Lehman College is a second team All-American.
Jeez.
You should, when you drop a bomb on that. You boom. Feel me? like my first ever recruit is a second team All-American in Division III, like the nation. Not like CUNY, not like the East Coast, like the nation. You feel me? So it's like, he's a pro right now. He just got drafted to play in DR. Like two days ago.
Is that
Division II talent.
Isaiah?
No. Gian Battista. Division II talent, where he had Division II looks. Like he could have left out of his junior college and won Division II. And then he had a family situation that he had to stay at home. And his girlfriend was at Lehman. So I was like, you know what? It works. It fits. I'm comfortable. Second team All-American in 2 years.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's the misconception, too, I feel like, with the divisions. People think, like, oh, D2, D3, like, oh, they ain't no hoopers. Like, it's just kids that probably played a bench in high school, but there's probably some real talent. And you've seen this. There's a couple people from, in the league that, you know, that started off in the D2, D3 route. I think Duncan Robinson, too.
Duncan Robinson.
Was D3, you know what I mean? So
I'm just saying. Like, it's definitely a misconception because if you're good enough, they're going to find you. Right. You know what I'm saying?
No matter the division.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, and some kids, I'm keeping it a bug, and some kids ain't realistic about their situation.
Jimmy
like, everybody wants to, I'm going to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you're not. And it's not, it's not about crushing nobody's dreams.
Yeah.
But you have to understand how many people play basketball. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it's great to have the dream, but it's also to, you know, you got to be realistic with yourself and what you can do and your abilities.
Right.
You know, like, there are other routes. Like, you can go pro. You know, you might not get drafted from Division III, but you go pro and go pro somewhere and kill over there.
Overseas.
And then go, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then make your way in somehow. It's possible that way.
Mm.
But, like, not everybody go to the leagues. There's 2 rounds, 60 players get selected.
Right.
Out of
thousands.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I be trying to tell, you know, it's hard with that misconception in recruiting sometimes because, like, Lehman fits you, but you think you're a Division II player. So you go to those Division II schools, you don't play much, you hate the coach. You know, the coach doesn't know what he's doing. And in some cases, that's the case. Mm-hmm. But then there's some cases that they don't really realize, and it's like, yo, you wasn't. That wasn't your spot anyways.
Right.
Yeah. Why not just, you know, yeah, we're D3, but we're a good D3. Why not come here and solidify your legacy? You know, and patch your numbers. And,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, that doesn't necessarily mean, like, your journey to the NBA is done. Because you can kill 4 years at a D3 school, go pro overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't stop. You know what I mean? You go overseas. Next thing you know, you killing over there. And you move up either division in, because they have divisions out there as well.
Mm-hmm.
You move up to the top division. And next thing you know, you're getting looked at by G League teams. What happens? Oh, now you in a G League. Whoa, shit. it's up from there. And next thing you know, fuck, you in the NBA. Right. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like, I think a lot of athletes, basketball players, any baseball, any athlete should be hearing those words.
I mean, yeah, like this, it's not one route to get anywhere in life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like everybody has their own path.
Right.
You got to be able to be willing and accept it and play the cards that you was dealt, mm-hmm. and you know, manipulate your situation as best as you can to get where you want to go.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks, you know, well, I don't want to go there because it's Division III. I don't want to go there because it's Division III. But it's like, I got some kids on my team now who's not a Division III talent.
Right.
But they're in a situation that best fits them.
What? They're not a Division III talent?
I mean, like Division II, my bad. Like, I mean, yeah, they're not Division III talent. Like, they're better.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
But, like, they're better than where they are. But... Mm-hmm. Certain situations call for that, or they chose to come there because that's what fits them, you know? And sometimes, you know, you can only be successful where you're going to be comfortable at, especially as an athlete. Like, you go somewhere and you're not comfortable, you're not going to succeed. And I believe that wholeheartedly. Like, if you go to school to play basketball and you don't like it, and you don't like the school, you're not going to have fun playing basketball. And if you're not having fun, you're not going to be good.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. But that there's a lot more to unpack with situations and being comfortable, like right coach, right, you know, chemistry with players, school environment, things like that that make that decision of like, am I comfortable easier? But like, I really want to know like. Real shit. Like, what's the talent like? Like, what you got is the 15th guy on a D3 team. Do you think he can be a D2 basketball star?
That's not always the case. It's not always the case, and every team is different.
True.
Like I've had. This is what this will be. I'm going into my fourth. This will be this
my
season coming.
My fault. Let me appreciate that because I feel like people are gonna be like, "What the fuck is he talking about?" Can a 15th guy on a D3 bench go from there to the NBA?
That sounds highly unlikely, though.
Sounds highly unlikely?
But can it happen? I mean, I think, like KG said, anything is possible. But, like, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I agree. It's highly unlikely. Like, how you gonna go to the NBA if you're the 15th man? Right. That means you're not getting on the court.
True, you trash, son. And if I see you in the gym,
I'm not saying no lie because listen, one thing I learned:
cook you up. All right, anybody listening to this, just know I'm hitting you with the 1-2 Sham God coming through with the Tim Hardaway crossover spin move, lay you, look at you in your eyes as I'm laying it up. Like yes. That happened. And then after that, I'm going to have a meal with your moms. Be like, your son is trash. You deserve this.
He just went ahead for no reason. He said crossover, spin move.
That's a lot of
double
moves.
Double spin right, mad moves.
That's a lot of moves. Like,
do this.
But, I mean, it's hard, man. 15 guy. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Every guy on the team plays a role.
Yeah. Everywhere.
No, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't get a miss because you're the 15 guy. It doesn't mean... And the team wins a championship doesn't mean you wasn't valuable. Right. Like, sometimes the good dudes need players to play against in practice.
Mm.
And if you giving them work, because it happens, I done seen the 13th guy give a starter the work.
Facts.
You feel me? But it's just the starter's a little bit better. Mm. So it's like it you know, ends up working like that. But I done seen it. But it helps. Why? Because sometimes when that starter's going against other teams, that next guy... that he's playing against ain't as good as that 13th guy. You know what I'm saying? So it helps the person gets better. So, you know, people misconstrue that because, oh, yo, you didn't get on the bench.
Right.
Like, it's funny, but sometimes, you know, that's the card you was dealt.
That's true. That's true. So here you are, a coach, you know, and we see, like, we always see, like, coaches, like, you're talking about recruiting. That's why I bring this up. There's like rules and regulations as far as like the NCAA is concerned. Like, does that trouble you when it comes to getting players wherever they're coming from, whether it be like from the city, out of state, transfer portal? Like what? What are the rules and the regulations like now that you're dealing with? Like you've been built the perfect coach persona, but now you have to revolve it around not just the team but the regulations.
I mean, every level's rules is a little different.
Okay.
When it comes to us, like our biggest rule is like we can't, like I can't bring in a recruit and work him out. I can't do that. That's against the rules. In the off season, I can't do that. So like right now, I have to strictly recruit. Like I could go to games and watch games. You know, I can talk to the you'd be surprised.
I know. I'm just
you'd be surprised. Like, you know, I could talk to the recruits, this, that, and that. I mean, obviously I can't buy them stuff.
Right.
Like,
take them out to eat.
I can't be doing none of that stuff.
That's so corny.
It is, but I don't make the rules, you feel me? So I just gotta work around it. When it comes to out of state, it's more of a school problem than it is a NCAA problem. Because it's like you out of state, it's like one, at Lehman we don't have dorms. So like you coming from West Bubblefuck, where we gonna put you? You know what I'm saying? Then on top of that, now you gotta pay double tuition because you're not a New York resident. Mm. So it's like that's the biggest problem we have recruiting out of state. So we keep it in the city. You know, it's easier for us that way.
That's what it's about, baby.
But yeah, like it's hard. But at the same time, it's only reason, the only trouble I have recruiting legit is it's the D3 stigma.
Exactly.
That's the biggest problem I have. It's not like we've been successful enough from when I played to now me coaching that our resume kind of speaks for itself. Like you look at just the last 7 years, what we've done.
Mm.
And if you want to be a part of that. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you want to go to a D2, but that D2 might have won 3 games.
All right.
Garbage.
If you think you're the missing piece, by all means, go and be the missing piece.
Right.
But when y'all win 4 games, just know you still got my number. You
right.
Feel me? Like, hit me up. We gonna take you. So that's the biggest stigma.
Yeah. And how is the talent now based out of New York? Because you know New York is known for the guards. We have, you know, New York is known for some real hoopers. And
we got
and
some real hoopers. We don't got no real thinkers though. Mm. You know what I'm saying? A lot of like. Mm. I'm telling you right now, basketball is, you could do everything you want. You know, you could be talented as hell skill-wise.
Right.
But if you can't think the game, it's going to be very hard in college basketball, regardless of the level. You know what I'm saying? Like D2, D1, D3. I mean, the higher the level, the harder it is.
Mm-hmm.
But like kids in the park could think, you know, yeah, I could go play there. And then they come and it's a hard adjustment.
Right. It's a different game.
Not everybody understands that.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a challenge in itself, where it's like, you're the most talented kid in the city, or whatever the case may be, but it's hard for you to have process the game up here, where now, like, we in the park, like, if he's guarding me, you ain't on help side.
Right.
If I get by him, it's a layup, right? But now we in college, and I get by him, like, you in the lane, there ain't no 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Charge, people take charges. Not everybody processes that.
Right.
So it's hard sometimes to get the street ball out of the players.
Mm.
But sometimes you want something, you want a little street ball in there too because, right. You know, it's creative. Yeah. So you can't always like structure and, you know, give them the book and this is exactly how it goes. Yeah. You got to be lenient in some things, but also, you know, put the structure where your core philosophies lie.
Mm.
That's the difficult part, but you know, we've been successful with it so far.
Yeah.
You know.
Where do you think New York City basketball is at right now as far as, you know, the youth, like, coming up?
I mean, I think it's getting better than what it was because it kind of died out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting better. You know, I think a lot of people are starting to teach basketball again. Not just put what the best product is out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
'Cause, you know, it's hard to, you know, you could see a kid and he might be good basketball wise, but like again, like he doesn't know simple concepts of the fundamentals of the game. And so some people, you know, like I'm young in the game, but I kind of already seen it where you know, they put the best product together in order to solidify themselves. Like, not the kids, mm-hmm. like me. Like, I got these kids. You know, they're good. But you're not really teaching. You're doing it. It's a selfish agenda. It's like, sometimes, you know, coming into coaching, you got to be, you know, is it for you? Is it for them? And I just look at it and it's for them. Like, I get more satisfaction of it, of seeing them succeed on the court than what my resume speaks of right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, because if they not succeeding, then my resume ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's kind of, you got to be a little selfish.
Mm, yeah.
But you also got to understand why you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I could talk basketball all day.
Yeah. Nah, especially with college coaches, they, I feel like some, I'm not going to say any names because I don't really, you know, dive into their.
Say some names, bro. Get messy.
It's not someone I know personally, but like, I feel like big schools, big D1 schools, they really focus on like, oh, I'm going to get the highest recruiting class. Mm. And the next thing you know, that recruiting class that was nasty. Everybody's like on paper, yo, nasty. They about to go to the chip. You know, they do nothing. They fluster out and they don't even make it to the tournament.
Right.
I would say Kentucky's like that. Again, because, you know, it's Kentucky, so it's easy to get the kids. But I don't know if the coach there now is, like, trying to really teach them the game and be like, yo.
I mean, I get that.
But I don't know. I'm not there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not trying to say. I just feel like that can go with that.
I mean, you also got to get them to buy in. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like you mentioned Kentucky. Like, Kentucky's been a place where, yeah, they get the pros, but they don't get the pros to go in there and average 25 a game. You know what I'm saying? Like the kids got to be willing to sacrifice as well, too. It's one basketball. You know, you're not going to go in there with another top five recruit and think that, yeah, both just going to be averaging 30. Like, right. That's not the nature of the game.
Yeah.
So if you can't get a kid to buy in, sometimes that's the way it hurts. And I think that, you know, some places coaches do deserve some of the blame, but not all of the blame. Mm. And that's also something that I see, that coaches get all of the blame. Like, you can only do so much. You know, like, you can put them in the right positions to succeed. You can try your best. You could drill all these things into their head and try to get them to do the things that you want them to do. But it's up to the individual at the end of the day. You feel me? So it's like, you know, you say that and he gets, you look how you're looking at it. Like, you know, it's Coach K. Maybe he doesn't do it. But look at his other teams where he's gotten these pros to buy in.
True.
And has been successful.
True.
Right? So that you can't balance it out in that way. You can't just look at one team. You know, coaching, you're going to have a new team every year.
Right.
Every year you got a new team.
Yeah.
So you can't pick one team and say, yo, this team, you know, XYZ, because those other teams wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's the difficult part of it, especially in programs like that where it's like they got a one and done situation. Yeah. You know? So.
Yeah, I want to touch back on the coaching too, because you went from literally coaching boys to men, yeah. You know what I mean? And how was that transition, you know, going from teaching 11-year-old, coaching 11-year-olds, to, you know, coaching 18-year-olds? Because a part of coaching, too, is not only player development, but how they develop as young men. So, you know, what were the challenges with that and how you, like, gained the respect of your players and the team?
Yeah, so, like, with the kids, it's like, I'm older. They got to
listen. Yeah, they're going to listen automatically. They got to listen. Yeah.
You ask.
Right.
So, like, you ask, you know. I had leverage on the kids because it's like I was kind of played college basketball already. Right. My little brother's on the team and he nice. He like the best player on the team. So now you got to look at him and be like, damn, like, you know, his little brother's nice. Mm-hmm. So I got to listen. He might know what he's talking about because his little brother. So I got leverage. It's hard. It's easy with the kids. Mm-hmm. It's dumb easy. But definitely a challenge when it comes to the young men. Like when I spoke about it earlier, you know, that first year was rough. Because it was a quick turnaround. Mm. Like, my season ended in May. I'm coaching in October. You know what I'm saying? Not preparing. I got the job in August. You know what I'm saying? So mindset has to be full. And it's like a whole new thing where nobody kind of gave me the book of it. Like, hey, this is how you're going to be. This is how you got to do it. So, like, I definitely had some clashes with players because I would talk to them like they was my teammates.
Right.
And it's like, you know, so I've had those, you know, boom, like, moments where it's like, and at the same time, it's like, I look like one of them.
Mm, yeah.
So it's like, you know, I have to build that respect first. Mm-hmm. Some of them didn't see me play. Like, I had my first year coaching, I had, I want to say 4 or 5 players that was on that first year coaching that was on my team when I was a senior.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, they know, they saw, so they understood. I was their captain. Mm-hmm. So, me just being on the sidelines, they're going to listen to what I say because they know I put in the work. But then you got to butt the rest of the team when it's like, who is this dude?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I had to learn that quick. Mm-hmm. And I was tested. I was tested. You feel me? But, like, it's hard because I'm not a player, so I can't respond like a player.
Yeah, I was going to say, you ever had to lace his sneakers up, bust a nigga ass a couple times?
I do that. I still do that today. Like, today. 4 years in, I still do that.
Hey, look, I'm the captain now. Start going
like,
in.
I do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done that. You know, there's times in practice. Like, I had a kid on my team this year who thought he was better than me.
Right.
So I'm just like, I haven't played organized basketball in 4 years. I got a newborn son. Like, I'm fat now. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not really do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not really do that. But, like, you know, after practice, you know, I work individually with some dudes.
Mm.
And yeah, I bring my shit with me. Put my sneakers on.
Mm.
You gonna get this work.
Right.
Like, whatever I got in the tank, you're gonna get it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of kids, there's a lot of my players now who's been humbled.
Yeah.
Let's say that. You know what I mean? They've been humbled.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. Cause it shows, well, first of all, continue giving you your flowers. You got probably out of all the basketball players that I've been around my lifetime, you probably got top 3 best footwork I've seen. So that don't go nowhere. And it's just funny because, like, just hearing you say that shit reminds me of, like, Kobe Bryant. And, like, you got all hit when he was on those trash Laker teams. And a lot of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of dudes ain't seen him win in a minute. They start testing him and they would line up and, like, try to play his old Kobe ass one-on-one. And he just whooping them.
Oh, what Jimmy Butler did, was it Minnesota? Where he took the bench? Shit, yeah, no. He took the bench and beat the starting five.
That's why.
Like I say, a lot of them have been humbled, but funny you mentioned footwork. Like, that's, you know, you did your research on the website and it talked about, you know, my posts, this, that, and the third. Like, again, like, I'm 6'2.5".
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a post. Right. Yeah. But I have the footwork. You know what I'm saying? Like, the footwork is very fundamental to being a post player.
So that's what you specialize in right now.
Specialize in footwork.
As your coach.
Yeah. Like, I do that. I got moves too though. Like, don't get that twisted.
Right.
I face up. I got moves. But you know, I've gained that throughout the years from coaches who've taught me, you know, watching, you know, players who I played with. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I learned that and I just incorporated, you know, into what I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not developing nothing new. I'm just pretty much teaching what I've been taught.
Right.
But just, I guess, with my own, you know, my own swag to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but.
Yeah, nah, I feel that, bro. Like, I think it's huge, your position. Just because, like, when we talk about, like, bringing it all together, you coaching, New York City aspect, guards, just basketball players and overall in New York, we're all about the street ball. We're all about the flashy moves. It's not many times you see a dude that's like, I'm gonna face up on you, give you a couple jab steps, spin up and under.
Oh yeah, you don't see that in the park at all.
You know what I mean? You don't see that at all. And you know, for you to be in a position where you are today and you out here teaching that, think that's fire, bro.
Like, it's funny because, like, you know, we'll have a game, you know, let's say we prepping to play York or like Hunter or whatever. So, you know, we got practice during the week, and like, let's say we this day before the game, so it's a little light, you know, we usually do, like, during practice, we used to do skill development. So, you know, guards go on one half of the court and the posts come on the other side. So I get the guys and I teach them, like, a move or, like, a couple moves, you know, and then we do it and you know, you get the repetition going. And then we play the next day, you know, everybody on the bench, whatever, whatever game is going on. Somebody does the move that I literally just taught them the day before. You hear all the guys on the bench. Gene, coach, that's your camp. That's your camp. We just did that, yeah. And like, no lie, I be getting dumb hype off that. Like, I go down the bench. I be like, you see, yo, didn't I just teach y'all that? Didn't I just teach y'all that? I'm like, yo, I don't make, it makes me think sometimes that I'm like, yo, I know what the fuck I'm doing. Right. You feel me? Like, that, it's just reassurance. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it'd be dope sometimes. I'd be having mad fun with it.
That's dope. That's dope.
Yo, so what's next for you? Like, do you see yourself, you know, coaching, like, in the long term? Or that's it? You're here to stay?
I'm lined enough to be the next head coach. I'm telling you this right now. I mean, if I want to say yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's definitely groomed me. 100% definitely groomed. He's taught me so much. And I've learned, and like, he says it to this day. He was like, yo, you are ready to be the next head coach. Mm. But he's selfish. So he want to go another go around. Nice. And I get it, because he wants to go out on top. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had conversations with him in the past, you know, kind of recently, in terms of like, you know, I don't know if I'm coming back.
Right.
You know, after this year, I don't know if I'm coming back. Every year is kind of the same thing. And, you know, so I'm definitely putting myself in a position to try to get that. Because if I get that, like, that just solidifies pretty much what I want to do. And I'm definitely going to try to get a powerhouse.
Yes, sir.
And then just move on from there. Because I don't think I'm out. Like, I'm not going to be done at Lehman. Like, I'm not going to be sitting there and coaching 20 years. I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know.
I mean, you know, you network.
Yeah, but you know, chicken got to be there too. Yeah, facts. I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a job and it's a grind. Like, I'm coach. I'm on the clock right now. Like, it don't stop. Like, if somebody calls me, I got to answer my phone. And I got to work. I got to help you out with school. Mm. Like, recruits, I got to help them with applications. You know, making sure. Like, that's, we're not even in season.
Yeah. Right.
So, it's like, it is time consuming and it is draining sometimes. Mm. And I got a newborn. You know what I'm saying? He about to turn one. So that's a whole nother headache too.
Congratulations on that, by the way, man. I appreciate that.
So that's a whole nother headache on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I be feeling bad sometimes because I think sometimes, like, I'm not around him enough, you know, because I'm so caught up with doing this. Like, yesterday I spent like 5 hours giving recruits tours of campus. And I'm off. Like, this is spring break. So I'm supposed to be off. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I be feeling bad, but I know that at the end of the day, I'm working for something that's bigger than what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And one thing, too, I wanted to touch on, because on the first episode, me and Joe, we spoke about purpose. And do you feel like coaching is your purpose?
I do. Honestly, I think I do. Like, like all the things we spoke about so far has lined up for me to be where I'm at without me even realizing that this is where I needed to be. You know? So it's like, what I see, like just this year and entirely, it's like we lost in the championship in overtime. And I played in the championship as a senior. But losing this one on the sideline hurts me more than the one I played in. You know what I'm saying? Like, so me just knowing that, and it's like I feel this for them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's ain't about me. Right. It's, you know, we did everything we needed to do in order to be in that position. We spoke about it. We worked hard. We were pissed off at each other. There's days we hated each other. You know, there's days we love to be around each other. There's days it was like, you know, everybody, you know, you come in with your mentality. Every day is not always going to be a good day. But, like, just, like, how bad I feel for them going through that. Seeing my two seniors sacrifice what they sacrificed. Like, it hurts me for them. And what sucks is that they ain't gonna get that opportunity again. But now I am.
Are majority of your kids from the city?
Yeah. I got a kid who's from Philly. He, you know, he's a transfer from Concordia. He's originally from Philly. Kids just graduated. He's from DR, but he grew up here in the city. But majority of the kids are from the city. I want to see, yeah. Oh, I got a kid who's from Connecticut. He sacrificed too.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
no dorms in the college?
Like, yeah. No dorms. He commuting every day.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's tough. But that's something that he, you know, he wants to do. So
that shows the dedication.
I want to dive into like college atmosphere and then take your take like on, you know, a few like NBA stuff. So like, you know, everyone hears college basketball, this, that, and a third, and you know, we always hear Duke, UNC, and
Kentucky
versus Alabama or some shit like
Gonzaga.
That. Right? Like, as a coach, does Lehman have any of those like rivalries or
Baruch College?
Baruch College.
Baruch, really.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like
they nice.
They just beat us to the championship.
Oh.
Like, they last year they didn't play because of COVID. Mm-hmm. The year before that, they lost in the championship.
Dude.
The year before that, they lost to Brooklyn College. The year before that they lost, they won in the championship.
I got recruited at Brooklyn College.
Where? Congratulations.
I don't think I ever told you that.
No, you never did tell me that.
Yeah. Ulster, that one year.
You was out there putting buckets. But
I didn't want
y'all was ass up there. That's what.
But that campus is nasty.
Brooklyn has a beautiful campus.
Nah, that beautiful it's campus. Gray.
Brooklyn's campus is legit. It's like, it's in this, you think about it, it's Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You don't think that.
That was the school I was expecting you to say, not Baruch. Like, Baruch threw me off. I would not expect the Baruch to be.
Nah, I'm telling you. Before, like, all right, so when I played, my 2 years that I played, well, prior to that, I want to say the 4 years of when I was kind of involved with Lehman as a player or potentially being a player was CSI, College Staten Island. They beat us in the championship. They won the championship my junior year. When we lost them in the buzzer. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't say this, but they didn't want to see us. My junior year, they didn't want to see us because we was coming for their ass.
Mm.
But we lost to City College. They beat City College in the championship. My senior year, we was the number one seed. They was the number two seed. Both games, because you play every school in your conference twice.
Mm.
Both games that we played against them was to the wire. First game at their house, we won in overtime. We wasn't supposed to win that game. We won overtime. The next game they came to us, we won at the buzzer. I didn't want to win that game. I tell you, as a player, that's
why.
Funny. Because we knew we was going to see them in a championship game. And you know how hard it is to beat a team three times?
Bro,
that shit is hard, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I want you to take this. We was already locked in as a number one seed.
Yeah.
So like, we wasn't fighting for anything. Mm-hmm. And they was locked in at the number two. So we wasn't fighting. So it was like, yeah, I could have this one. That was my mentality. Like, 12 seconds left. We down one. We go into the timeout. I come out the timeout and I tell dudes, I don't even care what happens. Hey, if we miss, we miss. Oh, well. Motherfucker hits a layup. I'm like, fuck. We hype. But I'm like, fuck. I see the coach, CSI coach, because he's a cool ass dude. See him after the game. We leaving. He's like, yo, man, that's another tough one. This down a third. And I looked at him right in the face. I'm like, yo, y'all, I wanted y'all to win this game. I tell him that. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
Right.
I'm like, y'all should have got this one. Because I knew deep down we was going to see him again.
And y'all lost.
And it was for all the marbles. You feel me? Mm. I'm like, we lose that game, it gives us something more to fight for that day.
Right, the next build off.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, fuck. He got us. Then CSI moved up to D2. So they moved up D2, and that's when Baruch kind of filled their spot. But Baruch has always been competing.
Yeah,
right. It was always Lehman. It was always CSI, Baruch, Lehman. You know, those three teams always like interchange every year.
City College.
City College had that 1 year. That 1 year, my junior year, they was good. But prior to that, honestly, I don't know the history.
Trash.
Y'all play any non-CUNY schools?
Yeah, we play non-CUNY schools. We have 11 non-CUNY schools.
Like,
out of conference games, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So it depends. Every year is different schools we play. Sometimes we play the same school like the next year because they have like a little contract. Like, we go to you, and next year you come to us, like that. So, but every year we always kind of play different.
Mm. Play out of division?
Out of conference. No, we don't play, like, I'm talking out of conference, not like...
Nah, I know, but do you play, like, out of division teams?
Nah, we don't play out of division teams, no.
So I know some schools do.
Like, yeah, but that's like an exhibition. It's always to start the season. This year, this season coming up, we might have a exhibition with, like, a D1 or a D2.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Those are good, because they, you know, it's like... So I'm going to tell you this. This is the politics behind that. It's like... Those schools, those D1 schools that look for teams to play an exhibition, make sure that they, like, they look at the previous year, what you did the previous year. Mm. And if you was good, they're not going to try to see you. Because it's like, you're D1 school. If you end up losing to them, what that say about your program? Yeah. So they try to look for the bottom teams. Well, they know they're going to whoop their ass, you know, build some morale and things like that. Like, you don't want to be a team that's D1 to end up losing a Lehman. Like, right. That's bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just, but this year we might have one. I'm not sure.
Well, good luck.
Right.
Shit, I'll tell you right now, if we get a dub, the price is going up.
Yesterday's price.
It's not today's
price.
That's the quote of the year.
That's a fact.
That's a quote of the year.
That's a fact. Everybody's saying that.
Right.
Shit, I'm saying it. Because my price definitely went up.
Nah, with this thing you're doing, you know, I'm going to give you your flowers. You feel me? Like, I told you before we started, this is you.
Yeah.
This is your lane. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, y'all talk about purpose. Like, this is your purpose. Like, I just met you and you already a natural at it. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate
like,
you.
Yeah. Like, it's dope. You know, I was hyped. You know I was hyped to do this.
Facts.
Yeah, I was hyped for the conversation. What he told me too, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good convo for real.
Yeah, bro. We talk basketball.
Yeah.
24/7. 24/7 is nonstop.
And speaking of, we in the midst of the playoffs. So, who y'all got? What's your predictions for this rest of the season?
Listen, man, I'm a Miami fan.
Yo, Dwayne Wade. Okay, that's my favorite player too, bro. That's my favorite player of all time, bro.
Through and through. So you feel me? Right now, we looking tough.
Nah, y'all got the Hawks though for sure.
Yeah, that's easy.
They
yeah.
hurt. It's not easy. It's they hurt. So that's what the problem is. But everybody pretty much hurt.
Yeah.
But who I got? I had Milwaukee coming out the East.
Same.
No cap.
I said
that Middleton injury though.
I said Bucks Suns rematch, but I don't know
I said that too. But yeah. Now you got Booker hurt too. So exactly. It's tough. So I mean, it's hard. It's definitely gonna be interesting.
He thinks the Pelicans will take the Suns out.
It's not a wild take.
You told me this last week, I'll laugh at him. This week,
I don't know.
Not a wild take.
It's not a wild for this. Not a hot take.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't see it. Even though I love CJ, I think CJ's a top five shooting guard in the league. Like,
I don't think that.
You don't think it's top five?
I don't think it's top
five. Who you got five above him? Bro, look at, you talk about footwork. CJ's footwork is one of the best.
It's impeccable. 100%.
His footwork for a guard is one of the best in the league, bro.
Do not disagree with you on that. Just don't think he's a top five shooter.
Really? Right, I mean, you got D Book. You got who else? You got Jalen Brown,
Klay Thompson.
Klay, he's not top five.
I mean, I'm not putting him right now.
But just
you talk about resume.
Off the resume James Harden. Alone, yeah.
James Harden has turned into a point.
I'm not putting. I like Jalen Brown, but not above. And I love Jalen. I love his.
But not
game,
above CJ.
Not above CJ.
Nah, you wildin'.
Not above CJ.
You wildin' right now.
I don't know
who else.
He's a good great two way player though. Great player. But I don't think, I'm telling you, CJ's footwork is...
CJ is legit, but you know, Jalen Brown won him that game the other day.
Nah, 100%. He took over the fourth quarter. Yeah. And I said it too. I said the Celtics could take the Nets
out. Nah, Jalen Brown definitely top five.
JT and JB could take out...
Brooklyn?
Yeah. But yeah, that's what, was that, 3-4?
That's 3.
I'm telling you, he's top five.
You got 3? Who's the 3? You said D-Book, Jalen Brown.
I said James Harden.
He's just been inconsistent in the playoffs, but... James Harden. Who else?
I'm trying to think of who the playoff teams.
I'm telling you, he's top five.
I don't put him over Anthony Edwards.
He's a 3.
He a 3?
All right, so you a Heat fan. You got him over, you think Jimmy Butler's better than CJ?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
What? Jimmy Butler shoot no threes.
Like,
He get 45. He shoot no threes.
Nah, Jimmy is nice, but I don't know. I think I got CJ. I
respect it. I think what you're saying is like Skill wise, he's top
skill set. Super skilled.
He is super skilled.
Skill wise, he's top five. Yeah,
bro. Look how he turned that Pelicans organization around.
Yeah, he got no his downfall is he got no athleticism.
Him and BI.
Yeah,
and once you get Zion looks like all in. That team is gonna be a problem.
Zion need to
get about it. There.
Zion need to eat right.
I don't know, bro. I think they'll do
too
right
much,
with
too much gumbo.
He need to get a BBL.
That's a fact. I went like, too heavy.
He's not making it work. Like nah, you know, how some people can't just lose weight.
Right.
It's like, all right, bro, just get that BBL, come back slimmer. You know what I mean.
He gotta get on that Melo wave. Nah, so yeah. Melo was a little heavy word. Set.
I think Melo got a BBL too. Nah.
I don't know. It's hard to call now. I think now with the way the rosters is looking, I think Sixers is going all the way.
Yeah, I think Sixers. I said they're not saying Sixers.
I still don't see it because there's no real, like, James Harden's not James Harden.
Mm. So what?
I don't think it's that so boy. What. And you playing Toronto. Like, Toronto, everybody's saying, it's going to be a tough series. Like, Toronto's.
Yeah, but you got that. Toronto ass. You got that African giant.
Exactly. He's MVP.
Who's guarding him?
Big boy over there.
Who's guarding him?
In the East right now.
Bam.
Bro, he's gonna work Bam up, bro. He's gonna smoke. Bro, we talk about going back to footwear. You seen Embiid?
I've seen Embiid. Embiid is my favorite. He's the best footwork impeccable. In the league right now. I think so. But Bam.
Nah.
I don't sleep on my guy.
We're gonna see it, man. Listen.
We're gonna see, but
if y'all hear this after the playoffs, just know we calling Sixers over the Heat. It happens.
I'm calling it Sixers Warriors.
Sixers. He got too many dogs, man.
He got too many dogs. They do got dogs.
Too many dogs.
I say that.
That's
they do
fine.
Got,
you can have all the dogs fine. You want, nigga.
Yeah, them boys ain't on a leash either.
We got fucking.
That's like the Celtics got dogs.
We got gorillas.
Celtics got some dogs. I'm still not sold
Sixers
on
Sixers got gorillas.
They got one gorilla.
Yeah.
That can take out a lot of dogs. One gorilla can take out a lot of dogs.
That's a silverback over there.
Facts.
Indeed, bro.
Facts.
Nah, he's different. He is definitely
Facts.
Different.
He's on some...
But you want to know what's the key to what the Sixers winning it all? Mm. Tobias Harris.
Facts.
Oh, of course. 100%.
And he's playing well against Toronto.
Yeah.
Facts.
Like Toronto.
Facts.
We'll see.
What about the Knicks?
What about the Knicks?
How do you feel? What do you think they can do to bring a championship to the city?
Get rid of Julius Randle.
Exactly. I say the same
build
thing.
Build around RJ Barrett.
I said the same thing. We need to keep OB, RJ, and Quickly and develop those three.
I'm not a fan of Quickly either.
You're not a fan of Quickly?
Nah, I'm not a fan of
I think you could develop them to something. I think it could be something
Knicks
good.
Knicks have but, no but development team.
They don't. Horrible development team, bro.
I got closer to the mic because I wanted everybody to
horrible develop. Now, I'm a Knicks fan, but, bro, I say it all the time. They got a horrible development team.
That's like, why you get so many draft picks that don't amount to nothing.
Yeah.
Then they go somewhere else and they become something.
Like, I look at the Warriors. The Warriors probably have the best development team in the league.
Over the Spurs?
Top three. Well, the Spurs haven't been relevant, though, in the past. They haven't really been making noise.
I mean, they got DeJounte Murray.
DeJounte Murray's he's been...
He they made, developed him into
nah, he's,
something
he's
crazy.
Nice. I like Murray, yeah. But...
You know, it's just...
I don't see the Spurs being competitive, though, in the near future, but...
I don't know.
But you look at the team like the Warriors, like look at Jordan Poole, Damian Lee, GP.
Jordan Poole is different.
He
that's
me
a dog right
yeah,
there,
he
bro.
He reminds me of myself. I don't know. It's like the green light, you know?
Yeah, this dude be chatting, right? This nigga.
He wouldn't be him if he ain't chat. You know what I'm saying? Like that'd be weird.
I'd be dead ass, though.
Give me
the green light.
I need to see the tape. And
you
take, bro.
I got you after this. I got a little mixtape.
He kind of lost. I think you lost the mixtape or not?
I lost the mixtape, but I made a new one. It's in the files.
You got the Ball Is Life mixtape.
Yo, Gene, so we asked all our guests, you know, being this the BUB Real podcast, before they, you know, they step away from the mic, we appreciate you for coming in. And, you know, we truly value your role in, you know, in the community, you know, coaching for Lehman and coaching up these young boys and putting them in positions to...
I want to say young men.
Young men, that's a fact. Realizing their positions while also teaching them the game, mentoring them. What makes you, in this world, be you and to be real? What makes you be yourself? What makes you be genuine? What makes you be real?
I think I was always genuine. Like, from young, I think my mom always instilled that in me. You know, like, without me even realizing it, I kind of was always like that. Like, you know, you do for others as you would like others to do for you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, she always taught me to be polite, you know, and be cordial with people, because you're never going to know when you're going to need somebody, like, in life. Like, you're not, you can meet someone today, and because you left a, you know, a genuine vibe or, you know, a introduction, and you meet them later on in life in a position that you're trying to go for, or whatever the case may be. It's like, yeah, I remember that dude. He was always kind of like this. You know, I don't know you, but, you know, I just got a good vibe from you, so I'm going to help you out in this situation. So it's like, you know, everybody talks about, you know, you want to do everything for yourself and you don't want to rely on anybody. But I think as a person, especially talking about community, you need other people to help you get to where you want to go. Like, that self-made thing is almost kind of, I don't really buy into it 100%. Like, yeah, you got to put the work in, but you also need people to lift you up, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just try to instill that in other people because, you know, that's the way I was raised. That's the way I was taught. And then you incorporate that with, I guess, my journey and, you know, and the lessons that I've learned growing up and becoming a man, you know, it all goes hand in hand because I guess it ties into, you know, who I'm trying to be as a person. Like, I don't want to be someone who people can't rely on. I don't want to be someone who people can't come to me for advice. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't expect nothing from nobody. Like, I'm going to be cordial and I'll be, you know, myself with you, regardless of how you take that. And I'm not expecting a handout. But if it's there, it's appreciated. And just know that if I'm in a position to do it, I wouldn't mind doing it either. But you also have to know your limitations in terms of when people try to take advantage. So it's like, I guess it's just that balance of understanding everything that kind of, you know, keeps you steady. So I don't know if I answered the question for you, but.
Nah, I think you hit that shit right on the nail, bro. Mm-hmm.
That was fire, right?
Carlos, you got anything?
Nah, man, this was a dope-ass conversation, bro. It was real. Yeah, man. Appreciate you again for, you know, putting up.
I appreciate y'all for even having me. You feel me? Like, I feel like, you know, I looked at it like I'm going to be a little selfish. I looked at it as an opportunity to get my story out there and for people to view me as well. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, not everybody gets highlighted, you know? And sometimes you kind of need that for somebody that's somewhere watching and being like, yo, you know what? Like that person,
right,
you know, is doing all the right things. Like, I want to help that person be put in a position of where they want to go and things like
that's
that.
That's what we all about,
and
bro.
That's, yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. That's the goal of the show, man. Just to highlight. Yeah, highlight and use this as a platform to, you know, put people on notice, man.
And you deserve it, so.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what it is. It's the BU Be Real podcast. Stay tuned for more episodes coming soon. It's your boy.
We out.
I ain't gonna fade away. I don't care what you say. Out of my way, Jose. I'ma go straight to the bank. Every single night I pray. Hoping to get out my way. I ain't gonna fade away. No, I ain't gonna fade away. I ain't gonna fade away. I don't care what you say. Out of my way, Jose. I'ma go straight to the bank. Every single night I pray. Hoping to get out my way. I ain't gonna fade.